Welcome to church. This is Shoreward Assembly, an exciting congregation of God's people, under the pastoral care of Dr. Dennis Ian and his amiable wife, Pastor IT. Our mission is to raise champions who are passionate for God, winning in life and changing the world. Our vision is to be a growing community of worshipers and ministers from every tribe and tongue, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever we go. Shoreward Assembly is a Bible teaching ministry operating at different locations. If you need a church that will equip you to grow in the faith, empower you to succeed in life, and give you a platform to serve the Lord, welcome to Shoreward Assembly. To learn more about us, visit shorewardassembly.org. Remember, with God, all things are possible. So expect a miracle today. And when you're coming for the next service, bring a friend along. Shoreward, raising champions.
Amen. Celebrate Jesus, please take your seat. In the midst of the challenges we have in Nigeria today, it is important for us to see a glorious future. We must see a glorious future. God asked Jeremiah, "What do you see?" He said, "I see a rod of iron." He said, "I will hasten my word to perform it." We will only have what we can see. That's why God said to Abraham, "As far as your eyes can see." In other words, whatever you can see, I will give it to you. Let us not see the darkness. Let us not see the decadence. Let's not see the corruption. Let us begin to see a bright future for our nation. Let's see a glorious destiny for Nigeria. Nigeria shall be better than what it is today. A lot of people have left this country. Many people have written of Nigeria, but I have not. I believe that Nigeria is a beautiful nation. We'll need to take our eyes away from the things that discourage us and begin to see the possibilities that this country holds. And that is what it means to see ahead. Beloved, the theme for this month is looking ahead. We must look beyond the challenges of today to the beauty of tomorrow. Romans chapter 8 verse 18 says the sufferings of this present time, they are nothing compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. So there is coming glory which shall be revealed. We must take our eyes away from the pain, from the challenges, from the decadence, and allow ourselves to see the beauty of the glorious future that God has for us as a nation. Can someone say hallelujah? When we talk about looking ahead, we are talking about vision. And it is our desire for God to help you to understand what vision is and to birth a vision in your heart in this season. We need to at all times ask ourselves, where are we going to? 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, where will we be? What will our lives be like? And beloved, no kidding you, there are many people that don't have an idea. So if you like, they're living their lives blindfolded. They don't even know where they're going. Where will you be 20 years from now? Beloved, our life should not be an accident. It should be a product of following a clearly defined, properly understood vision for our lives. If you don't have vision, you have no future. Can I say that again? Without a vision, you have no future. If you don't have a vision, you're just an accident looking for somewhere to happen. You don't have control over your life and over your destiny. You don't have a vision. That is why whenever you get to wherever you get to, it will surprise you because you never thought you would be there. You never saw it. You need to see yourself in your future. You need to see yourself in your tomorrow. You need to see yourself 5 years, 10 years from now. That is why when you get there, it will not surprise you. We are also talking vision now before we get to the next year because we want to also challenge you to begin to see the picture of 2026. If you get to 2026 and you ask God for a vision for that year, you're too late. You need to be able to see ahead. Glory to God. Before you get into 2026, you should be able to see 2026 from January to December. When Israel was about to get to the land of promise, when they were at Kadesh Barnea, Moses chose people to go spy out the land. Vision is like spying out the land. They went and they saw the land. They brought grapes. Only that, of course, they began to say the wrong things. But vision is being able to go into 2026 and come out and say it's a beautiful land. If the Lord delights in us, He will give us the land. He has promised. The challenges I see ahead, they are like bread for us. They are like nothing. We are going to conquer. We are going to overcome. That will be a beautiful year. That's vision, beloved. Can someone say hallelujah? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I read the first sentence in NLT, New Living Translation. New Living Translation, please. For we are God's masterpiece. We are God's what? Hey, we are God's what? That's vision. What is a masterpiece? It's a finished, beautiful, well-crafted work of art. It's not you under construction. It's when God has finished with you. The glory, the beauty of God's handiwork upon your life. I am God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. See, God sees you as a finished product, and then He comes back to begin the construction. God doesn't see you in your bad state. God sees you in your perfect state. That's why you are His masterpiece. Please, are you with me? You don't see a masterpiece in a workshop. You see a masterpiece in a showroom. Are you with me? If you go to a workshop, you won't like what you see. It's like a beautifully cooked meal. You go to the kitchen when they are putting pepper and salt and vegetable, you won't like it. But when they finish it and they decorate it, you see them put red here, put green here, and the thing looks, you take a picture. That's the masterpiece. Please, I want you to catch a vision of yourself as God's masterpiece. Glory to God. You're God's masterpiece. As perfect as God can make it, as beautiful as God can make it, as glorious as God can make it, and God makes nothing imperfect. God makes nothing ugly. We are God's masterpiece. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. The NIV is what I like. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Oh, glory to God. You see, so when I take a look at my life and take a look at where I'm going, I can begin to see God working out the details of my life to prosper me. I can tell you that I can never fail. I can never be poor, because God has never failed in what he sets out to do. If God says he has a plan to prosper me, so how can I fail? How can I be broke? How can I be poor? The God that said he has a plan to prosper me is a God that no man can stop. If his plan is at work, then it will surely be fulfilled. So what does that do for me? It gives me a picture of a prosperous future. I know that my future shall be that of prosperity. Your future shall be that of prosperity. It says plans to give you hope and a future. So in Christ Jesus, in God, I have a future. There are people that say, it doesn't have a future. No, you have a future. Can you say, I have a future? And it's a future of prosperity. Can you say it again? It's a future of prosperity. I have a future of prosperity. Can someone say hallelujah? When God was set to deliver Israel from the land of bondage, he called Moses at the backside of Horeb. And he said to Moses, I want you to go to the court of Pharaoh and tell my people, and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. But God did not stop at setting the people free. God also gave a vision of where they were going to. It was not enough for them to be set free from the land of bondage. The question was, where were they going to? God started to articulate the vision. He was taking them to a land full of milk and honey. You see, God is very creative and his language is superlative. Who wouldn't like to go to a land that is full of milk and honey? Better than onions and cucumbers. So God said, I'm taking to a land full of milk and full of honey. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7, God also started giving a beautiful picture of this land. For the land your God is bringing you into is a good land. A land of brooks of water, fountains and springs. A land that flows out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. Beautiful land, isn't it? In which you will lack nothing. In this land I'm taking you to, you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper or brass. Glory to God. You know, Israel, that the Bible calls them the church in the wilderness. To them, Canaan was a physical location that God was taking them to. But to the church, because that church in the wilderness was symbolic of our church today. So Canaan is not just a place, but Canaan is a location in God, a place of abundance, a place of plenty, a place of prosperity, where there is no scarcity, where we lack nothing. That is the Canaan that God wants you to inherit. Can someone say hallelujah? So God delivers us and God gives us a picture of a glorious future, a glorious destiny, and it is good for you to catch it. It's good for you to catch it. This morning I was so excited when I heard talks about heaven, because it was as if they were looking to my note. Pastor Koro was talking about that dream he had, that vision he had, and all of that. It is Paul that said, if it is only in this world that we have hope, we have all men most miserable. God did not leave us only with the vision of our life here. God gave us a vision for eternity. Are you with me? You know, God has always been casting vision. In the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, he spoke vision into being. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have the... That was vision. When man fell in the garden, God also cast another vision. The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. When God decided to take one family and pour his life into them and make of them a nation by name Abraham, God articulated a vision for him. And God said to him, take a look. Your children, your descendants shall be like the stars of heaven. It shall be like the sand by the seashore. Shall be like the dust of the earth. He said they will get into captivity 400 years and they will come out. I'll bring them out with great substance. God is a visionary God. If you're in God, you cannot be without a vision, because God is always casting his vision. He's always giving vision to his people. Glory to God. Was casting vision. When Christ was born, set us free from sin and damnation, Christ gave us the vision of eternity. That is why he said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. When I'm done, I'll come and take you unto myself. I love the articulation of that vision in the book of Revelation. You know, God gave us a glimpse of what heaven will be like through the vision that he gave to John on the island of Patmos. Revelation chapter 21. I read the first 8 verses. Revelation chapter 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out, down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That's where God is taking us to. We'll not need to have the kind of prayer we prayed this morning. Let there be no violence. There will be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow. That's where God is taking us to. That is the glorious destiny of every saint. That's the vision that we must carry before us. Beloved, there is more to this life than we see. This world as we see will come to an end. A new heaven and a new earth will emerge. That's what the scripture teaches. We must carry that as a picture in our spirit, so that we don't think the world ends with what we see. There is more to this life than what you know. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And of this God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In other words, all sinners will have no place in that heaven, in that abode of God, where there is no more pain, no sorrow, no tears. If you're not born again, You're a sinner. You have no place there. That's what the Bible says. It says your own place is the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. That is what we call hell, which is the second death. But you will not go there in Jesus' name. Can I have verse 22? Verse 22 of that same scripture. But I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God and Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun, of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Hallelujah. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in his light. And the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Verse 27. But they shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie. But only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Beloved, why people do not get saved is that they do not know that there is a life after now. Why people think that all there is to make money, live a useless, immoral life, get all you can, even if it means stealing and defrauding. They don't know that there is a place in eternity called heaven and there's a place called hell. Beloved, God has a place for us. We need to keep it as a vision. Beyond the vision you have for your job, beyond the vision you have for your family, beyond the vision you have for your career, you must carry a vision of spending eternity with God in heaven. Can someone say hallelujah? I said to you that Genesis chapter 15, God said to Abraham, come. Because Abraham said, how is it that you said you love me and yet to me you have given no seed? And God said, come. The Bible says he took him abroad and said, look towards heaven and count the stars if you are able to number it. So will your descendants be. Look towards heaven and count the stars. So will your descendants be. Furthermore, God later said to him, your children shall be like the stars of heaven, like the sun by the seashore, like the dust of the earth. But look towards heaven, count the stars. And this was a time when Abraham had no children. Abraham had no seed. There were no prospects. His wife was barren. He was impotent. And God said, take your eyes away from your deformity, from your incapability, and fix on your future. Is somebody still hearing me now? I remember some time ago I was challenging us based on this scripture. I said, most of us carry with us pictures of our past. But if you're a visionary man, you must learn to surround yourself with pictures of your future. Surround yourself with what? Pictures, not of your past, but pictures of your future. In other words, Sarah probably had several miscarriages in her life as a married woman. Don't let that be the picture that you carry. Carry before you pictures of numerous children like the stars of heaven. Don't carry with you pictures of your failures. Carry with you pictures of the promises of God for a life of prosperity that is ahead of you. And you know, some of us have photo albums, like I always say. But for many of us, no picture of our future is in our album. All of the pictures we have, they are pictures of our past. Pictures of when we were in school. Pictures of when we went on youth service. Pictures of when we got married. Picture of when we did one thing or another, but they are all in the past. How many of us have pictures of what we expect in future. And I've always said, if you're a woman that is here to give birth, carry pictures of babies that you'll give birth to. When you find somebody that is taking babies, snap a picture with that one and let it be in your album. Every time you see, you incubate and will reproduce what you see. Can someone say hallelujah? You're struggling, you have not had a car before. Sit in a good car and take a picture. Let it be around you. And then you say, this is the kind of car I'll be driving. Every time you see yourself sitting in a car, and the beautiful thing is that when you get to the car shop to take a picture, they won't ask you to pay. The only thing is that dress well. A man that is dressed like I am dressed this morning, and I came to your car shop, and I ask you, how much is this? And you say to me, it's about 65 million. I will price it. Can you take 45? Meanwhile, in my account, I don't have 45,000. But I'm pricing 45 million. Because see, I am not speaking about what I have. I am articulating the vision that I have. It is what God has laid in my spirit. So I'm beginning to live in my future. Is somebody with me? You see, a man of vision sees things differently. When a man, you know, every city comes out of a forest. When a man of vision sees a forest, he doesn't see trees and marshes and bad spots. He sees buildings in the environment. He sees roads where they don't exist. That is what vision is. I remember when we came here, this place was not what it is today. There were no houses here when we bought this land. This place was completely water, but we saw the prospect of a house rising from here. At that time, when we finished service, we couldn't even find a bus to take us home, because this place was a no man's land. People used to be killed along this stretch. Right after the bridge, you never walked alone unless you wanted to go to heaven very fast. But look at the beautiful place that we are now, because vision sees ahead. Can someone say hallelujah? So please, I want you to surround yourself with pictures of your future. Carry the vision of the glorious future that God has for you, and the Lord will enable you to bring it to pass. What will having vision do for you? Number one, vision will give you direction. Vision will give you what? Direction. Vision is the blueprint of our lives. It's like a man who wants to do a building. When you want to do a building, you don't start to build. You first of all commission an architect to give you a drawing. Is that correct? Hey, is that correct? They'll give you a drawing. They give you an architectural drawing. If it's a serious building, they'll give you a structural drawing. And you follow the details of the drawing to realize the vision. So when you have, listen, the architectural drawing is not the picture of the building under construction. It's the picture of the finished product. Sometimes they give you a 3D representation of the building. Is that correct? And when you look at it, you say, wow, this is a beautiful building. This is a good building. So when you bring sand and cement and granite, you have a direction. You know what you're doing, and then you can follow the details of it. So vision gives you direction. When God took Moses to the mount after 40 days, gave him a blueprint of the tabernacle and said to Moses, build according to the pattern that I gave you on the mount. Beloved, without vision, you have no direction. You're like a blindfolded man. You don't even know where you're going. And Jesus said, the blind cannot lead the blind. Both of them will fall into a ditch. In fact, the blind cannot lead himself. If you're blind, you're a disaster. If you're blind, you can make progress. What does the Bible say? Where there is no vision, the people perish. My own understanding is that the people turn in circles. Where there is no vision, the people do not make progress because they have no direction. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18. So if you will have direction in life, you need vision. Please listen. For me, I don't assess human beings by their sizes, by their shapes. I don't assess them by the car they drive and maybe the certificate they have. I assess them by their vision. You are as big as your vision. Hello, are you with me? You are as successful as your vision. That's why I tell girls, single girls, when you want to marry, what should determine whether you marry the man should not be his background. That your father is rich does not mean you'll be rich. That your father is successful does not mean you will not fail. Everybody has got a choice to make, and that choice will be determined by the vision you carry. Even if you have a car, even if the man has a degree, that is not anything to make you decide. It should be the kind of vision that he has. People sometimes wonder, why did my wife marry me? You heard, oh, this boy was a poor student, didn't have any money, didn't have clothes to wear, didn't have shoes to wear, was Brother Kumuyi on campus. And when we say Brother Kumuyi now, the Brother Kumuyi now is not the Brother Kumuyi then. Brother Kumuyi now is a very powerful man, wears suits like me, drives very good car. That's not Brother Kumuyi. The Brother Kumuyi of the 1980s, if you drove a Beetle, you were going to hell. You needed to, in fact, if your Beetle was driving well, or maybe I should say, if you didn't drive a Beetle, if you drove like 404, you were going to hell. So Beetle was the brother's car, and it didn't have to be good. It must be the one you push to start. So when I say I was Brother Kumuyi, some of you would misunderstand because you think he's the Brother Kumuyi right now. No, no, no. Brother Kumuyi now, he's a... Are you with me? I don't know who I can compare with now. But you see, in the midst of all of that, what this woman saw was a young man with vision. I could talk to her about the future I would give to her, even though I didn't know how it was going to come. I could tell her, don't worry. I remember standing in Bauchi State one night, where on youth service, and I called, I said to her, look at me. I said, do I look to you like a man that will fail? I can assure you that for as long as there is God, I'm going to give you a good life. I said to her, I'm going to buy you a Jeep. Now, remember, I did not even have money to pay my school fees. I said to her, I'm going to buy you a Jeep. And one day we're driving on our God Palace, when we're in a Jeep, and she called me and said, so you were serious? I said, yeah, I was. You're driving a Jeep now. I said, I fulfilled my promise to you. I'm not kidding you. It is vision that makes the man. It is vision that makes the woman. It is vision that determines your future. So when a man comes and poses, tell the man, lay your vision on the table. Can I see your vision 10 years from now? Where are you taking me to? It is not enough to say, we'll japa. When you japa, where are you going to? You can japa and beg for a living. There are people living in Canada, people living in America that are praying for transport money to come back. I don't know you. Articulate vision. See, if you have a clear vision, whether it is in Canada, whether it is in Japan, whether it is in Nigeria, you will do well. Can someone say hallelujah? I think it's Bishop, one of my bishop friends has said the other day when he came here during my 60th birthday, took the microphone, if you heard him, and said, well, I am not surprised, because even when this man was in an uncompleted building, I knew that he had a great future. He had a great future. We were in a building that we were sharing with goats and chicken. I will stand before the church and articulate a vision. I will say, don't worry, this place will be fully air conditioned, just like now. See, if your sweating is just temporary, very soon we'll fully air condition this hall. This road, we are going to fix it, put street lights. I'm going to get God helping me a bigger space for us to park your beautiful cars. By the way, you know, somebody, I was discussing with somebody the other day and I said, do you know we can do 4-level parking in this space? We park 4 levels. Has that ever entered your mind? That is to say, I don't need to buy a big expanse of land. We'll just drive, you go up 4 levels. Glory to God. But you see, that's vision talking. That's vision talking. Vision gives you direction. It shows you where to go to. It points a searchlight, a torchlight to your future. So you know where you are walking to. You can speak about your life, not by guesswork, but by vision. Can someone say, I hear that? Number two, vision imposes discipline. If you're a visionary person, you can't afford to live carelessly. By virtue of the vision you carry, there are boundaries you will observe. There are boundaries, there are things you cannot do because you're constrained by vision. You know that scripture, Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. The New King James Version says the people cast off restraints. Another translation says the people become wild. They become wild. If you find a wild man, if you find a wild woman, that's a man, that's a woman without vision. Nobody who carries vision can afford to be wild. You are tamed by vision. You're constrained by vision. You're restricted by vision. Is somebody with me? Hey, are you hearing what I'm saying? If you have no vision, you can live anyhow. You can go wherever you like. But vision will determine for you where you go to and where you don't go to. You can't have vision and live a wild life. Wild life is for the bush. People that don't have vision, they live a wild... You know what I'm talking about? Wild life. No human being should have a wild life who has a vision. Vision will constrain you. There are things that others are doing that you cannot do. Not because you lack the power, but vision has made it difficult for you to go that route. Oh, is somebody with me? Hey, do you know, if you have a vision, for example, as a student, to make first class, when people are going for parties outside the school, you won't join. Hey, are you with me? Not because you don't have the money or you don't have the cloth to show off, but because you have a vision to make first class. So when others are playing, you're reading. Does that make sense to somebody? When others are playing, you're reading. When others are sleeping, you're reading. If you want to be a billionaire, there are things you don't do. You don't waste your money, throw your money around, sleep at home when others are going for their work or for their business. If you sleep when you should be going to work, you'll soon beg. Even prayer will not save you. Anointing oil will not help you. Tarry night will suffocate you. Are you with me, somebody? I am saying vision will provide discipline. The discipline of waking up in the morning by 5 a.m. Vision is the only one that can set that alarm. Without vision, the alarm will ring and you snooze it. It will ring again, you throw it away. Because you don't have something propelling. Have you decided, have you planned to travel before? And you did not set an alarm, but you woke up exactly when you should. Because there is an alarm inside of you. Everyone, vision can provide an alarm that you don't see. Oh, if you're sleeping till 10 a.m., then you have lost vision. Is somebody with me? So vision will provide discipline. You cannot have vision and you're wild at the same time. Vision will tame you. Vision will constrain you. Glory to God. Number three, which is really related to that, is that vision will help you to make the right choices. Vision will help to make the right choices. Hebrews chapter 11, 24 to 26. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Why? For he had vision for the reward. Because he looked to the reward, he saw into eternity. He refused to compromise. He refused to live in sin because there was something he was looking for. Are you still here? You see, vision will determine how you live. Vision will determine the things you do. And that's the truth. Do you know, from this scripture, you can say vision will also choose your friends for you. Vision will determine your company. I had the vision of living a good life. Particularly because I came from a broken home, I had a vision that I will do very well in marriage. I will have a beautiful marriage. So when I was looking for a woman to marry, I was not looking for a figure. I was looking for character. That is not to say she doesn't have a good figure. That's not to say she's not beautiful. But that was not what I was looking for. You can find people who can have the right figure, many of them. But not every one of them will have the character you're looking for. One of those girls that I was close with asked me, why didn't you marry me? And everybody thought I was going to marry her. Even me at the time, I thought so. So one day, she traced me and said, I want closure. I said, closure, how? He said, I want to know what I did so that at least I've been haunted. I said, really? Tell me. Say, why didn't you marry me? So I asked her, do you want to know the truth? Say yes. Say the real truth. Say yes. I say, God delivered you. God saved you. Because the poverty I saw, either you have killed me or I would have killed you. Beloved, there are people that make friends. You know, if your best friends are unbelievers, I know you don't have view of eternity. You don't have a vision of eternity. If your best friends, the people you gist with, your best gist partners, you have lost sight of heaven. You go to drink with them and you tell me, Pastor, you know, I don't drink. You watch them drink. Very soon you'll join. they talk, babes, pastor, you know me, I don't do those things. Very soon you'll do it. Show me your friends. Two cannot walk together. Maybe you agree and you don't even know you agree. Very soon it will be obvious that you agree. Are you with me? If I see the kind of relationship you have, I can tell the vision that you have. When I teach on prosperity, one of the things I say is that the problem with the poor is that they only surround themselves with poor people. If you want to prosper, you must be intentional about relationships you keep. You must also keep relationships with people that are comfortable with money. If all the people that are around you abuse and cause the rich, you'll not be rich. Every time you find a man who is comfortable, drives a good car, thieves, God will punish all of them. They are stealing our money. Then, oh, come on. Are you still here? You have a vision of prosperity? I will see in the kind of company you keep. You have a vision to go to school? Then get around you people that have gone to school. Every time you say, I would like to go to school, they tell you, ah, no, 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 it's not necessary. Ah, you don't need any certificate to be rich. You will never go to school. If you have gone, you soon withdraw. Change your company to line up with your vision. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Change your company. You want to have, you know, maybe as a bachelor, you want to soon get married. And all around you are chronic bachelors. Every time they talk marriage, they say, well, man, we don't need marriage. There's no marriage in heaven. You're in the wrong company. Hey, come on, are you with me? Have with you people that place value on marriage. If you're hanging around men that have no regard for marriage, running around town with every girl, beating their wives, and those are the people you listen to, very soon you'll soon join. You'll soon join. If your friend ever heard that you lifted your finger against your wife and he did not caution you, you have a wrong friend. If your friend tells you, now you are, we're Africans, and she insulted you. If you have a friend that tells you, oh boy, the next time you lift your finger against your wife, I won't be your friend again. You have just found a good one. Hold on to that friend. Is somebody with me? What is the vision you carry? Vision gives you direction. Vision gives you discipline. Vision helps you to make the right choice. Do you know, even in choosing where to worship, you must be driven by vision. Looking for a church that is going to help you, equip you, position you to live victoriously in life. This is the kind of church you're looking for. I don't have a vision of being a pastor that has a very long queue. So that we say, whenever we say prayer line, every time we say, let us have people to pray for, and we have few people at the altar, I'm happy. Do you know why? It means God is dealing, helping, blessing the people. But if we have, can we come? If you have a headache and the church is full, everybody in church is standing at the altar filled. I have failed. Sometimes you find some pastors, they say counseling day is Tuesday. And counselees, they sit all from here and they go all the way to Catholic Church. They are sick. The man of God is like Moses. He's counseling from morning till night. That is a failed system. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? If you're looking for a church that is going to equip you to stand on your feet, have access to God, live victoriously and triumphantly in life, you have just found the right church. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with seeking counsel. I'm aware, I'm always available to talk and pray with people. But I'm saying if you have a bad dream by 12 a.m. and then you call pastor, it means I have not done my work well. You have a bad dream, somebody's pursuing you in a dream by 1 a.m. and you cannot stand on the authority of God's word and rebuke the devil, you must call pastor to pray for you. Then why are you in church? What have you heard? What have you been teaching? I pray God to help us. I am just midway through my notes. I'm going to stop here because I want to continue, not on Sunday, but on Thursday. There are many people that don't come to church until it is Sunday. You miss out a lot from what God has for you. I'm going to continue right from where I have stopped on Thursday. So I wanted to be in church on Thursday, and I trust that the Lord will bless you. Stand on your feet and let's pray.
For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Romans chapter 10 verse 13 to 14. Someone around you needs Jesus. Be the preacher the world is waiting for. Share the gospel with everyone you meet and bring them to church this week. Enforce dominion everywhere. Shoreward, raising champions.